I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
There was no champagne showers. There was no overexcitement in the locker room. They know they still have work to do here. They're going for a championship, and they know the Phoenix Suns are laying right around the corner.
The NBA Finals starting Tuesday night in the Valley of the Sun.
Ah, yes, the Suns. The sun has shone down upon the Suns throughout the postseason, and they get a little break, it seems, at the beginning of the NBA Finals as well. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, let's start it off coming in hot with some straight talk on the NBA Finals and Giannis's health and whether or not it affects, I mean, I hate to use this word, the authenticity for the Suns should they win a championship. Look, he is officially doubtful, as I said, for tonight's game. And with that being the case, there's no doubt that the Suns, having gotten here without having to face AD and the Lakers, without having to face Jamal Murray with the Nuggets, without having to face Kawhi with the Clippers, they have caught a break the whole way long, and now they get another one here early.
Don't all champions kind of catch a break? It's sometimes better to be lucky than good.
Do they catch seven?
maybe not seven, but most all of them catch a break. And I tell you what, you know, they really, you know, showed that they were a complete team. Remember, they went against the Clippers that did have Kawhi without Chris Paul, right? And they got two dubs. So the fact that they had to face and win two without Kawhi Leonard there, you know, tells me that they are a complete team. So they earned that, right? Because they did beat a fully healthy Kawhi and Paul George and Reggie Jackson and all that stuff too. Listen, Chris Paul has been on the other side of that so many times. It's been his hamstring. He hasn't been able to answer the bell. So if I'm Chris Paul, I can care less. I'm just trying to get the cherry on top of my career, which is a Hall of Fame career, which I believe will elevate him to a totally different stratosphere from the guys that are Hall of Famers without rings to one of the best, and arguably you can say, hey, outside of Isaiah Thomas, in my opinion, you can say the best little man under 6 feet.
Well, Devin Booker does not care about any feeling of justification for the Suns' playoff run.
We're not here to, you know, justify what we're doing to anybody else, for real. I mean, we've had goals for this group and aspirations for this group since day one. And, you know, we keep those in home for that reason. And we compete against each other, and we're on the constant pursuit to get better every day. And even during the regular season, a simple play might go by and we stress it. This can't happen. I know it doesn't matter right now, but later down the line, it can come back and get you, and we don't want that to happen. So just a focus for everybody, you know, to be locked in from top to bottom, not just the guys that are getting major minutes right now, you know, 1 through 15, 16, with the coaching staff. Just locked in at all levels, preparing for this opportunity right here.
Okay. So you understand that mentality because they're going to hear it, the fact that they've gotten here. But if you're Devin Booker, like, and if you're Chris Paul, I'm not apologizing for a darn thing here.
Bro, I didn't make the playoffs last year, man. I'm in a championship game. Like, what are you talking about? Like, usually when what team has had this type of turnaround from basically worst or one of the worst to first? Right, they were trying to get into play-in tournament. So, I mean, they were like, what, 10th, 11th last year in the conference? And they got an opportunity to host the championship trophy. You don't apologize for that. Listen, you can care less because on your resume, forever, immortalized, champion. Now, it's crazy, but now somebody's legacy is going to be enhanced. And Devin Booker, who was a guy who we thought could be a superstar that needed to get out of town, or get picked up by a bigger market team because the Suns are going to waste him away. All of a sudden, looks like he's going to be there forever, and now maybe they're going to be able to attract some other guys over there that's willing to come play for the champions because you take advantage for the opportunity that you have, right? When Dirk Nowitzki won the championship, we never heard from him in that capacity again. Right, so you take advantage while you can because you know these opportunities are far and few between.
Legacy, 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 legacy. It's all that Chris Paul is going to be hearing here for the next 10 days or so, off the court at the very least. And this is his first finals appearance. First of all, here he is on preparing for it, and if this is really any different.
It's different. Obviously, I haven't practiced here, not at the practice facility, but it's still basketball. I think we all locked in to, you know, the goal at hand. And I think for us, it's balance. And whatever it is, you know, you always got to remember this is a kid's game that we play. You know what I mean? So this is a blessing and an opportunity to play this game. So there's balance. You know, I think our team knows when to lock in and when we got to enjoy the moment and enjoy ourselves.
Okay. But Bart.
Cliche after cliche.
Exactly. Captain Cliche. But having said that, if they lose this series, oh boy. Heavy favorites to begin with. And I understand that if Giannis comes back a little bit different, they are minus 180 from Caesars William Hill in this series. And that's taking into account that they don't expect to see Giannis early in the series. Bart, if they ever lost this series to the Bucks and Giannis is not a big part of that, whoa. Chris Paul's legacy, I mean, you can absolutely argue there is more damage done to the legacy by a loss than enhancement by a win.
I would believe so. How could you not, right? You're the favorite, right? So now you're not the cute team that you hoped. Oh, look at this great story, right? Now you're expected to win, right? So it's weird because within the playoffs, they become the team, okay, well, they got the best record, but we know the Lakers were just laying in the weeds. We think the Clippers are better. Right, we think that you know Denver may be better, even though Utah may be better, and the fact that they have gotten here, and usually it takes a whole nother year for you to become the favorite, and now that they're the favorite, it's like they're going to get the underdog syndrome from the Milwaukee Bucks, which is always crazy. Like when a team that was brought into the season supposed to be a better team than Phoenix, all of a sudden has a chip on their shoulder because they're going to feel like they're being disrespected. But the difference is they still have two all-stars that they brought in. They still have, even without Giannis, they still have two all-stars, right? So when you think about Paul George, when Kawhi Leonard got hurt, it went from two all-stars to one. They have still two all-stars still remaining when you talk about Middleton and when you talk about Jrue Holiday. So I think it's not as a lopsided fight as we would think. And I think they play a better brand of basketball when Giannis isn't there because the ball doesn't stick. And I think the ball goes, and you can see how beautiful the offense can be when you watch everybody get involved. It wasn't just Brooke Lopez the other day, right? It was Middleton. It was Jrue Holiday being
Holiday
aggressive.
Holiday 27 for
who's it? Laser Eyes, BMI, Bobby Portis, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it was everybody getting involved because the ball was moving. And listen, it can be some matchup issues, right? Because they go with Bobby Portis. That's a big guy, right? You look at Brooke Lopez. He can give Aiden everything he wants, but he can stretch the floor as well because he had to adapt, right? He's a big that had to adapt. Aiden hadn't added that to his game yet where he can shoot threes. But, you know, we know Lopez can. So will he move him away and force him out of his comfort zone, which is really what the Clippers tried to do when they went small? But they don't have to go small to force him out of his comfort zone because Brooke Lopez can shoot the three at a high level, like 37%.
Chris Middleton here, not necessarily sounding like life would be better without Giannis, but not overly concerned at the moment either.
When Giannis is out there, a lot of times we could just give him the ball and let him go to work and, you know, let him orchestrate a lot of things out there. Without him, we have to do it by committee, moving the ball around, driving it a little bit more, playing just a little bit faster with a little bit of different flow. But, you know, I think guys have done a great job of adjusting with him not out there in, you know, two of the most important games of our season.
I don't disagree that it's a more interesting brand of basketball, which is so funny to me because Giannis is so freakishly athletic, right? You know, you'd think that they'd try to get up and down the court more, that kind of thing. Somewhat what you were talking about last week with Chris Paul and campaign.
Yeah.
That with Paul off the court, they actually are better when it comes to their fast break. But now you look to the other side, more beautiful brand of basketball, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are a better brand of basketball, because they're not a better team without Giannis.
No, not at all, but he's ball dominant, right? So everybody's watching, like Carmelo ball. It's like isolation ball. He gets the ball, he backs up, he comes up, you know, tries to get that running start. They set the fence up, but then he's facilitating late. So if you're a shooter, the ball's not coming to you. It's coming to you at a stressful situation where if you don't have the shot, you were forced to take a shot because he's eating up so much of the play clock, much like Westbrook does, right? But what happens is when they get down and somebody gets the rebound, they get out in transition fast. They set up their offense. They have 18 seconds on the clock. The ball is moving. If somebody gets a good shot, they say, nope, no good shot. They pass for a great shot. So your shooters and their three-point percentages go up because simply guys are getting the ball with time to still make the right basketball decision, not when Giannis is throwing you the ball late in the shot clock where you force a jack some off-balance stuff up.
I really wonder when we're going to see him in this series.
I'm thinking game three. I think when they're going back home, the momentum's going to be there. And listen, congratulations to both of these fan bases, right?
Yep.
Because this, you know, you talk about Phoenix, they haven't won a title in their history. You think about the Bucks, they haven't won since Oscar Robertson and Lou Alcindor, right? Dude, them done 10 movies since then and changed his name. You know what I mean? they still ain't won one since. So, I mean, I think the fact that somebody's going to be crowned, you know, you got the Bambis. I don't know what the Phoenix Suns calls their fans, but it's going to be interesting to see, like, a small market is going to get an opportunity to prove that they can compete with the big boys.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are you pumped up for these NBA finals? Are you into it? Are you into it? Like, give me an excitement level that you're into this.
I can't even front, man. Once the Clippers got put out of there, my interest level just waned a little bit. But, you know, they can change my mind. If this is a tight game, it comes down to the last shot.
Can something tonight change your mind? Can something tonight do that?
Yes. If this is a tight game, it comes down to like a tough shot or somebody hits a game-winning shot or isolation last second, if it goes to overtime, if I see a lot of smoke, if these guys are chippy off the bat because they know what's at stake, I want to see chippiness off the bat. I want to see Tucker getting down there with Chris Paul and Chris Paul trying to flop and then, you know, him getting up in his face. You know what I mean? I want to see Jrue Holiday take the challenge of picking up Chris Paul at 80 feet. You know what I mean? I want to see that type of stuff. I want to see if Devin Booker can rebound or can Tucker kind of agitate him to the same extent that he agitated Kevin Durant.
I'm at like a six right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm barely at a six.
But you know what? I'm with you. I need that moment tonight. First of all, I need this to not be an 83-80 game.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be, as much as I want to see that toughness, I have no interest in seeing this being a rock fight.
Yeah, you know? I want them running. I want them running and gun. I want big shots made. I want Booker pulling up from the logo. I want to see all that. If not, you know what I mean, I'll watch the game, but I won't be having people over and I won't be eating Buffalo Wild Wings or I won't be ordering food, the nachos and stuff like that. I'm going to sit there and just watch with a sippy cup.
It's cute that you can equate that and be able to do that. It's not going to matter who's on the screen for me. You know that. You know all that stuff's going to be in front of me either way. And if it's not a good series, I'm just going to sit there and eat my feelings away. That's basically what it boils down to. People, let's hit a call or two real quick on the finals. Scott in North Carolina, or Scott in New York City, excuse me, is up first on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I'll say it like this. As a hardcore person that watches ball, yeah, I'm going to watch it. But this is not going to pull anything in for star power, I mean, without the star power that people are going to watch. Because like I said, with Phoenix, and like I said, not to dispute them, they're there, you know, bottom line. They got there by everybody they beat was a man down. And in Milwaukee, this doesn't, I mean, other than Giannis, I mean, it's Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, so I'm quite sure that even the NBA, they're not happy with this. And you've seen the ratings. This is not going to be a high rating.
Yeah, but tell me this. Were you as disappointed when Dirk Nowitzki won a title? Because that was still a blah team. Like, who the hell? I don't even remember who. Jason Terry? Like, come on, man. Like, it was less star power with Dallas than it was with the Bucks. At least we know who Giannis is, so he watches Dirk out. But outside of that, Middleton is a superstar, right? He is an all-star. Jrue Holiday is an all-star. He might not be the all-star that you want, but the all-star that you got.
They're not known. Does anybody talk about Toronto since they won? Think about that, Bob.
Not really, they don't. But that has – thanks, Scott, for the call. I think part of that, too, is that they lost their superstars so quickly
right.
that – I mean, I don't want to say irrelevant, it's but like their relevance in the moment was lost almost immediately.
It ain't like we were, oh, my God, where did the Milwaukee Bucks come from? This is a team that has underperformed for the last two seasons. We've been waiting for them to get to this moment to see what they do. Right, so this not like their stars and their secondary stars are people that we're unfamiliar with. Hell, we even know who Covington is. We, you know what I'm saying? We know who those guys are. We damn sure know who Drew Holiday and PJ Tucker is if you've been paying attention to the playoffs the last couple of years. Now, it may not give you the flash. It may not give you that high shot-making ability that Kevin Durant gave you, like, you know, turn around 3 points, like putting the team on his back. But, man, it's going to be a team victory on either side.
This series is about America meeting Bryn Forbes. All right, Bart, I'll tell you, what a disastrous weekend in New York for the Yankees. And it perked up for the Mets, too. They're playing better. But it, in every way right now, is an absolute mess as the Yankees lose 2 out of 3. They had the day off yesterday. They get back to work tonight out on the West Coast, so we'll get to that in a few minutes. But more than anything, this team is just flat out floundering right now, and a big part of it is the closer, Aroldis Chapman, who blew a big one in the first game on Sunday, leading the manager to discuss Chapman's future in the role of closer.
I'll consider a number of things, you know, Green, Lowe, Chapman, you know, those will be conversations that we have, you know, but we may not have that option Tuesday with, you know, if Greeny and Lowe are, you know, could be down. So we'll have those conversations and try and do what's best for the team and for those individuals.
Translation, hit the bricks, Chapman. Mop up duty.
Yo, it's crazy, man. Like, when you think about what's happened to Chapman, and then you look on the other side of town and see what happened to Edwin Diaz. Like, we had given up on him, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people were like, that was the worst trade ever. Now, you know, with Cano kind of, you know, being crazy and getting busted for PEDs, now that trade looks good because you didn't have to pay him this year. And, you know, one more and he's ousted for forever. But, you know, Chapman, you know, I don't know if he can find it, right? If he was dependent on a substance and that was something that was helping him, and now that they're cracking down, I don't know how you fix it this year. Because you have to figure out a new way to pitch. He has to figure out a new way to grip the ball. And you don't do that type of things on the fly. It's going to be important for him during the All-Star break to kind of sit down with his pitching coach and work on his mechanics to try and see if he can fix it. But I don't know if he can ever be the dominant pitcher with that height, with that heat, and also with that killer slider if he doesn't have the sticky stuff.
And it may just not be him, Bart. Here's an absolutely brutal stat. You ready? And it dropped this on you. This is from Joel Sherman this morning in the New York Post. The Yankees had the major's second best ERA through June 2nd at 3.16. Mm. Since the memo that there would be a crackdown went out on June 3rd, they have the fifth worst at 5.5. Get your hand out of the pine tar.
Oh, man. That goes all the way to the guy that was the poster child for the Spider-Tacky 3000 and Gerrit Cole.
Yep, and he was hanging, breaking balls the other day all over the place, and they were getting hit. He can't seem to find the strike zone with nearly as much consistency. And I don't think it's just about the fact that you want to get a better spin rate. I think it also has to do with just having a better grip overall. That's what it looks like with Chapman.
Yeah, location.
Yeah, that he can't put it anywhere near where he wants to.
And listen, we've seen him struggle in the past, like sometimes not being able to find the strike zone. And that's assuming that, you know, maybe he did have a little bit more grip. Now that he doesn't have any grip, it's like, guys, just sit on it. Like, okay, we'll wait till we get the pitch that we want. And we have no fear of you because we know you can't get it over the plate. And it's obvious early that he can't get it over the plate. And that's when everybody just sits like, okay, we're good. If you can get three over the plate, then good luck.
So it's three in Seattle to begin and then three in Houston before the All-Star break. Aaron Boone, as you can imagine, understands what lies ahead.
I think we understand what's at stake, and I think we understand what the hole we've dug for ourselves, and we understand the importance of every game, and, you know, we got to go play well. We understand that. We've talked about it a lot, so We're going out west with a lot on the line.
Bart?
A lot on the line. Translation, man, if we come back and we get our bus kick out there, man, somebody, a lot of people's jobs are going to be on the line. And we don't know who it's going to be, but, you know, we can assume if they're going to try and get a haul back, if they're going to break this thing down. It's crazy, right? This is a team that was searching for the white whale forever. They kept missing out on the big picture, right? Sonny Gray. We look at the big maple last year. They finally get Gerrit Cole, and this is the results. He's walking into it where they may have to break it down to build it back up.
And Kluber's nowhere to be found. He's injured, and Jameson Taillon has not been that great. And they've got problems all over the place. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And the Yankees season could be decided within the next 2 weeks. We'll explain exactly how it all lays out in moments and what lies ahead after Bart tells you about our friends from the Home Depot.
Get more out of summer with savings on innovative washers and dryers during the 4th of July Savings Day event at the Home Depot. Give your laundry room an upgrade with big savings in-store and online on top appliances. Right now, you'll save a bundle. Celebrate summer with the 4th of July Savings event at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more. Valid through July 14th. Back with your calls after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Boogity B.
I thought you were jumping all over this as I was letting you go.
This is like the world's longest song ever, man. This is like the world's longest song. I'm trying to see what verse they on. Cause I am one the doc, and I like to say hello. See, I like Big Fat Hank. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because I'm here, and I'm there. Because I'm Big Fat Hank. I'm everywhere.
I could see me being Big Fat Hank. I could see that.
It was funny, man, because, like, they was rappers, but they had a disco ball. You know what I mean? So this was, like, the transition from, like, disco. Mm-hmm. And this was the first rap for all you young whippersnappers out there that don't know why we so hyped
rap
up.
Rap is delight.
It's the first rap song of all times. First time somebody said something, and they were talking and not singing, and they were rapping. That wasn't James Brown, but he was just doing pimp talk.
No, it was not just the grandma in, you know, the wedding singer for all the kids that are like, you know, 26, 27, what you're talking about. It is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. That might still be predating them. It's brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Bart, this question keeps coming back to me, and I can't come up with a positive answer. Is this actually a season worth saving for the Yankees? Are they worth saving right now? And I can't find a reason to say they are worth saving.
Like I said, man, we've been doing this thing for about, what, me and you, for like 3 years, 4 years,
I think. 3.5, 4 years, yeah.
And we've been talking about the Yankees and winning a title. They haven't even got to a World Series. But we kept continuing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, Cashman makes these great moves. Look at what he's got. Like the year where they were hurt and they had the Parrot Man out there. They had the Who was that? Let me see. I'm doing it to you.
Perryman was Edwin Encarnacion. Yeah. I remember
No, but I'm doing it to you again. Who was the guy out there that had played, was it Maven or somebody who had played horrible, and he found his groove out there with the Yankees like maybe three seasons ago. Like they It was like the black guy on the outfield. I don't know. I mean, take your pick.
I have to remember who you're talking about. You're killing me. You're just killing me.
But you know, like
I don't even have my $100,000 pyramid music with me.
It was a year that Cashman was just pushing all the right buttons. They had so many injuries, but they were calling guys up, man, and getting guys off waivers and just continue. He had the magic flow, man. He had the Midas touch. But right now, man, everything he touches doesn't turn to gold right now, man. What he's doing is, like, now he brings Chapman back, and Chapman with this whole rule with the sticky stuff isn't really working out. You look at Gerrit Cole, he's been dominant, but he hasn't been Jacob deGrom. But then again, who is? And then you hope that Gleyber Torres, this was the year where he's supposed to put it all together. You look at LeMahieu, is he still good? Yes, but he hasn't had that season that he had a couple years ago when he first was a Yankee, when it was like who's our guy? Where is Carmen Sandiego? Who was the guy from the Mets? They had the same opportunity. Jed Lowry. So you remember that? So, like, you know, the Mets picked Jed Lowry. They picked LeMahieu, and LeMahieu just comes in and is amazing. We never even found Jed Lowry. I don't know if Jed Lowry ever played more than two games for the Mets. But right now, it just seems like all that positive, that yin and yang, man, because now all the good stuff is going over to the Mets, and can the Mets cash in on their window? The Yankees' window seems to be closed.
The guy we're talking about is Andrew McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen was the outfielder you were thinking of earlier.
No, another black guy. He was even worse. Who was it? A guy named Maben?
Yeah, Cameron Maben, but I think he was around earlier this year. And last year.
Okay, no, it was some guy. He was there. He had been a bum, and he all of a sudden he started to hit.
Actually, no, he was around with – you are talking about Cameron Maben because he was around with the Mets this year. He's been with everybody. So.
Yeah, and then they got productivity out of him.
You're right. In 2019, it was Cameron Maben. You're right. Because he has played for seemingly every team ever in baseball. So I
got he's a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, exactly, except Ryan Fitzpatrick wins games. That's the difference. Oh, God. Anyway, the point now is if you're trying to save this season, you're trying to figure out how to fix Chapman. Here's Aaron Boone on what they're doing to try to fix Chapman, which, as you can imagine, is probably quite a bit.
We've been diving in each and every day, you know, between Matt and Hark and, you know, working on delivery things, changing up some routine things, changing up some pregame things. Yeah, we've been having a lot of conversations, pitch selection, those kind of things.
Trying to throw everything at the wall to see what's going to fix it, mechanics, you name it, and to try to figure it out. I think it's Bart, you look at him, it's a mental thing. It feels like it's a mental thing. And earlier today, this is what gets me about Chapman and what gets me about some closers, because they seem to come across with this arrogance isn't the word. It's a, well, no, it is arrogance. You're
bravado.
Right. Bravado. It is a bravado. And yet at the same time, this bully mentality can be beaten so easily, right? What do we always say about a bully? You punch him once, and then they don't have a plan. They don't have a way to get back out of it once they get punched back. But Chapman tweets this out earlier today. For all those people that criticize my bad moments, I will tell them that I do not know how my story ends, but in its pages you will never read. I gave up. Exactly. Do we have the patent music here somewhere? So I will move on. I still have many wars to win and many mouths to shut up. Like, why can't you pitch like that?
Hey, because he can't control it. He's throwing like that. He can't pitch right like that. And listen, they can try all they want, and they have to try and work on his mechanics, because it's just odd that all this has happened since they cracked down on the sticky stuff. And, you know, before that, he was having an outstanding season. He was cash money, right, as you can say. He come in cash money. You know, it was a foregone conclusion. Now he can't find his control, his delivery. We've seen him have that at certain times in the postseason where he just can't find a strike zone. But we all had a belief. And what happens is the confidence is going. He doesn't believe, so we don't believe that he can figure it out. And by the time he does figure it out, how far will this team be away? Because when he comes in, it's to try and win something. And if he's a guy that's the closer and he can't close, then how many losses or L's are the Yankees going to allow him to put on their, you know, put in their column if, you know, he can't figure it out? How patient are they going to be with him?
Well, look at the next couple of weeks. And we talked about the fact that they have the Mariners and then they have the Astros coming up after that. And then right after the break, 8 out of 10 against the Red Sox and then the Rays. It is an ugly stretch, and the Yankee season is ultimately going to be determined, to me, so by the 25th of July.
How many of those games do they have to win? You talk about four series. How many of those do they have to win? Or
is you're talking about 16, 19 games. You've got to win 13 or 14 of those games.
I don't think they're capable of winning.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, I don't think they're capable of winning that many games out of with that competition. I don't think so. You know, teams like the Red Sox and the Rays are relishing in the opportunity to shut the door on the Yankees, and you know that the Astros. Come on, man! Like they still feel a certain type of way, right? Saying that they were cheats and all that stuff, and they believe that hey, you guys cheat too. You guys had Carlos Beltran. Right? You'll think he came there and told y'all nothing? Like, hey, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, we know Garrett Cole, right? We the one that taught him.
Well, the Mets are the ones that smacked him around this past weekend and won 2 out of 3. They got it done, and getting it done is brought to you by Grainger to put them in this position. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. 888-729-3776. Is the Yankees season worth saving? That's what I want to know from people right now. Are they worth saving right now? And also keep this in mind. Here's Buster Olney, Bart, on if they actually get to the point where they need to think about going the other direction and selling off.
It's easy for, you know, knuckleheads like me to sit here and say, well, they don't have a chance. According to FanGraphs, they have a 6% chance of making the postseason. And it makes sense that they would be sellers. Here's the thing. When you look at their roster and what would potentially be available, there's not a lot there to market in season.
In other words, if you're going to trade away Aaron Judge, maybe the best time to do it is in the offseason, especially if you're going to make a change in management. So there are no easy answers here, brother.
I mean, they can't lease out Aaron Judge like they did Chapman, right?
He's got a year and a half left on the contract, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if you're going to re-sign him, you're going to hope to be able to sign him after next season. It's not just this year.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at the Padres, how they have so much young talent. They got everything that you will need. We talked about it the week before. We talked about the Giants having all the you know, assets that you may want to get Judge, and maybe you have that call, that deal with Judge that, hey, man, come to us afterwards. You know, I'm assuming that they trade him. It's not like some type of signing trade, right? So this isn't basketball. So you think about, you know, the fact that maybe they have to say goodbye to Aaron Judge for a little while and come get him on the back end. But they need to get some young talent. They need to figure this out because they got some issues at some positions. They got to figure out Gary Sanchez. You know, Andujar has, like, become just a – I don't know what he is. Clint Frazier is, like, an incomplete player, right? He gives you great offense, but the defense, like, he can get you beat.
He absolutely can, and there are not any easy answers here. It is Bart and Han coming to you live via the Heineken River Deck from Pier 17, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. 888-729-3776. On the NBA Finals and on the Yankees, if their season is worth saving. Up next, though, an initial wrong has been righted. We'll tell you what that is in moments on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bart and Han.
NBA Finals begin tonight on ESPN Radio. Tune in. It's Game 1, the Suns hosting the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, on most ESPN Radio stations. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Bart and Han here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Top of the hour, Jeff Van Gundy, who will be calling the NBA Finals on ESPN and ABC, will be joining us in just a bit to talk about the matchup. But first up, we want to get back to a story that at the end of last week we were spending quite a bit of time on, and right after we went off the air on Friday, the story broke that Major League Baseball was in fact going to put Trevor Bauer on the 7-day commissioner's exempt list, so to speak, whatever you want to call it, where as they work out exactly what is going to happen with him moving forward based on the investigation of the allegations made by a woman about violence against him. And Bart, look, he could not be pitching while this was going on. So they absolutely made the right call in finally coming around to it. It does amaze me sometimes as to why things like this take as long as they do before you're finally coming around to make the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was obvious and it was apparent that what the decision was. It's like, listen, we don't have all the facts. Like, these are strong allegations. We want to make sure we do the right thing, be on the right side of it. And, you know, why it takes, like, an outpour of outrage from other, you know, personalities, you know, other people within the business, why it takes so long, I have no idea. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to say they got it right. But what happens when those 7 days are up? Then what? That's another decision to be made, as we're still waiting to hear some more of the facts.
You know, I had Buster Olney on yesterday. I was filling in for Greeny, and he basically indicated he didn't expect to see Bauer again anytime soon, that while this investigation is going on, you would expect that the Players Association would also agree with baseball and want him continued on leave. And again, it is a paid leave at this point. You're just not around the team. And it's the best thing for the Dodgers. It's the best thing for Bauer. It's the best thing for everyone to get this sorted out, because that's a massive distraction for a team that's trying to contend. But more importantly, it's an issue when it comes to violence against women that, you know, if you are accused justifiably, it's obviously a major, major problem and puts the rest of his career in question, and certainly his time with the Dodgers. And if it's not, he has to get it straightened out.
I mean, reportedly, right, there's supposed to be images of what went down, or you know, she has pictures. And we know that, you know, from the Ray Rice case, when you have video, when you have pictures, that makes, that magnifies it, and it makes it more real to people. And you have, you know, I don't know why it does make it more real to people, but when they physically see it, like, oh my God, the outrage is there. So, you know, it, when you have images, you definitely have to get it a hold of it, because, you know, TMZ will come after you in a while. You know, they'll release something strategically, and it makes you have pie on your face, make you look like you are, like, inept.
Well, at this point, it's hard to imagine him being back anytime soon, if not even maybe for the rest of the year. Who knows if he'll end up pitching for the Dodgers again, depending on how this plays out. We break down Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Jeff Van Gundy joins us next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.